Hello, this is Dr. David Macrith here again, and I want to speak today on the most solemn message that our nation needs to hear. We live in a generation and a day when our nation needs to be called to repentance. It's repentance that God is looking for. It's repentance that God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, requires, and it's repentance that we should be crying out to God that He would grant us in such a day and in such a time as this. Nothing else will suffice. Repentance only towards God and turning to Jesus Christ as the Saviour of the world. And this is the message that we need to get out to our land, to our nation, more than ever before, to call upon men to turn and to acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Saviour. I'm going to read two verses here from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. And I read as follows in the Bible, which is the Word of God. We read, God says, God's speaking directly to King Solomon here at the opening and inauguration of the Jewish temple in the Old Testament. And God himself appeared and spoke to Solomon. This is what he says, part of what God says directly. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I feel very much aware that this verse seems to be addressing the condition or the situation in our land today where we are facing what we could call a pestilence, but the COVID-19 virus. Of course, elsewhere in the world, people are facing locusts at the same time. There are pestilences abroad in the whole world today. Now, it really doesn't matter where this virus came from. It doesn't matter whether it was due to a bat in a meat market somewhere in China or came from a biological weapons facility just down the road from the same market. All sorts of conspiracies, all sorts of ideas and suggestions abound. The fact is, whenever something like this happens, ultimately, above all else, this is something sent by God. And it's sent by God to try us. In many cases, it's sent by God as a judgment against our nation, against other nations, because we have forgotten him, because we have broken his commandments, and because we will not turn and we will not seek him with all our hearts. Now, of course, here in 2 Chronicles, God is speaking about the people of Israel in Old Testament times. And what he's saying to them here is that if they, his people called by his name, the people of Israel then were called by his name, turn and repent, then he will hear them. So how does this verse apply to us today? Well, there's two ways it can apply. It can apply to the individual Christian, the person who knows Jesus Christ, the person who is saved but is not seeking the Lord Jesus with all their heart, a call to the church, a call to wake up, a call to serve God, a call to follow him more closely, to love him more fervently. But it could also come as a call to the whole nation. And I know that we're not a nation as Israel was in the Old Testament. We're not a nation that is called by his name in quite the same way, but we are a nation with a Christian heritage. Great Britain, the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, we're a nation with a very strong Christian heritage. And no matter how much revisionism there may be going on, the fact is nobody can take away from the fact that we are a nation amongst nations who have been remarkably blessed by God over so many years. And the call to our nation has to be a call to repentance. As we have this virus and as the threat upon our land has become very great, so great that so many businesses have had to shut down, and the threat is to life, that so many people may come to lose their lives through this virus. And as our governors, as our rulers try and manage this situation, and as our health service, our wonderful health service, kicks into action, and I work for that health service, I'm committed to that health service, I desire to do everything I can to help people who are suffering and to be part of the fight against this disease. I have no problem with that. That's exactly where our duty lies at this time. But these things alone will never suffice, because when a judgment comes from God, we quickly find that human means cannot fight against the hand of God, cannot stand against the hand of God. And God is saying to us that there is a way in which this can be turned away. There's a way in which this can be managed. There's something that he requires of us, something that he will respond to, something that he will intervene. Because we can be quite sure that a sovereign God who reigns over the heavens and the earth, that God is able to take away this judgment from us. And he is a God who can blow. You'll find this in the book of Exodus with the plagues that came upon Egypt. But he's able to blow the locusts into the sea if he chooses to. He's a God who can take away all of these things. But the great need for the hour is that this country in which we live, that the people of this country, like the people of Nineveh in the book of Jonah, all of us from the greatest to the least, should cry out to Almighty God for mercy and forgiveness of our sins. Indeed, there's a prescription here of four things that we need to do in order for God to hear us. And the first is that we should humble ourselves before God. And we need to start by recognizing our helplessness, that we can't save ourselves, that it doesn't matter how much we improve our resources, we don't have enough resources in this situation. We don't have what we need to keep everybody safe, to dispel the virus, to remove the virus from our midst, and to treat everybody who suffers from this virus. Humbling ourselves to recognize our humanity, even in a technological age, we're being brought to our knees, and our technology isn't enough to help us or save us from this threat. We need to humble ourselves because we've forgotten God, because we've decided that we can live as if there was no God. And there's not even a voice raised up in the Church of England that's really crying out to God. There's no leadership amongst our spiritual leaders telling us what God requires of us. Yet it's all here in the Bible. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God tells us what we need to do. He tells us that we must humble ourselves before him. That means abasing ourselves. It means abasing ourselves on account of our pride. It means recognizing that we are sinners, recognizing that our idolatries, our blasphemies, our shedding of innocent blood, which has been shed from one end of this land to the other, is something which has turned us away from God, turned us to idols, and God's wrath and anger against us is most certainly just at this present time. And I tremble when I think about the kinds of blasphemies that are going on and the idols that we worship, like Netflix, where Netflix has, without any hesitation, chosen to blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ, the name which is above every name. And I tremble to think what will happen when God arises to defend the name of his own dear son, his precious son, in such a situation. And yet when we have our shutdown, our lockdown, when people are at home, when they're not expecting to be at home, what do? They turn to their computer games, their Netflix series and all of these things, yet that's not going to turn away the wrath of God from us. God requires us to humble ourselves, and that means acknowledging our sin, acknowledging his sovereignty, acknowledging that this is his hand that is being used against us at such a time as this. And then he says, after humbling ourselves, we should pray. Again, we have the example with Nineveh in the book of Jonah, where the king of Nineveh says to everybody in his nation to cry out, from the greatest to the least, cry out to God for mercy. Now, if Boris Johnson announces at 7 p.m. tonight that people are to cry out to God for mercy, he'll be doing the right thing. That's what God requires of us, that we should cry out to God for mercy. He's a God of all mercy. He's a God who delights to show mercy. He's God who's said in these verses that he will show mercy, that he promises to show mercy. But what if we don't cry to him? What if we continue to mock him, to mock his truth? What if we continue not to listen to the gospel? If we're Christians, if we continue not to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? He's a God who says that we should pray. Now, there may be people watching this and you haven't prayed before. The Bible says God is near at hand. Cry out to him, speak to him, call on his name, because he is near at hand to those who call on his name. And that's what praying means. So we are to humble ourselves. We are to pray. And then he says, seek my face. Seeking God's face means crying out to him, looking for him, searching for him. You'll find him here in the Bible. There are many gods that you can seek. And you might say, which God should I seek, or how should I seek God? Well, the Bible shows us that there is only one place that you can go to seek God, and that's Jesus Christ, his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who tells us to come to him. He's the one who's dealt with our sin. He's the one who's paid the price. He's the one who can deliver us. He's the one who today is seated at the right hand of God the Father on the throne of heaven, sharing the glory of God with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And He alone is the only place that we can seek. It's not just turning to God. It's not just turning to religion. That's not going to help us. We must come to God through Jesus Christ. And we must humble ourselves before Jesus Christ. We must bow the knee to Jesus Christ. And we must call on Him and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Because when He was on the cross, He was paying the penalty for sin. He became sin for us, so that anybody who calls on His name, anybody who seeks Him, will find that salvation which comes from Almighty God. And then we are told to turn from our wicked ways. This includes repentance. Now, repentance is more than just a change of mind. It's not just, today I was sinning and I changed my mind and decided I didn't want to sin anymore. Sometimes we find repentance is taught like that now. Repentance goes to the heart of a man. It goes to the center of the soul. It brings somebody to their knees. It brings them to tears. It brings them to the end of themselves. Can God save a sinner like me? I hate my sin. I abhor my sin. I despise the sin that I once loved. I see that that sin has severed my relationship with God. It has condemned me to hell. And now I can no longer continue in that sin, because it, what was once beautiful to me and what once caused me no trouble in my heart or soul is now dragging me down to hell. And I am alarmed, and I want to put that sin away, and I want to turn from that sin. I don't want to continue in that sin. So God says that we are to turn from our wicked ways, our idolatry, putting away our idolatry, our Netflix, or whatever it is, putting away our idols and crying out to God for mercy. And we're a nation of idolaters. We're a nation who's had no time for God. We're a nation who's had no time for His word. His Bible, which has been at the heart of the nation's history, has been left to gather dust and hasn't been picked up at all. And other faiths have come in, but it's Jesus Christ who is the Saviour of the world. Now God says that if we humble ourselves and we pray to Him and we seek His face, seek the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, and we turn from our wicked ways, we repent of our sin, then God will hear from heaven and will forgive. He says, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. We want to see our land healed. Now we want to see our land healed of this virus. We want to see this virus dispelled from our land. We want to see a cure for it. We want to see hope. We want to know that this virus is going to go somewhere else, not even another country. We're not wishing it on other people. But we want to know that God has delivered us, and it's Almighty God who is our deliverer. And He promises us that He will deliver us from this. It's not that we shouldn't be using every means at our own disposal. It means that He's given us. We should thank God for our health service. So many people that come to me as a doctor don't thank God for the health service. They blaspheme His name when they get ill. And I find that really, really disturbing. So we should be crying out to Almighty God. We should repent of our sin. We should trust in Jesus Christ. We should look to Him, because He is alive today and near at hand to those who call on Him. And if we do that, then God says He'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, we need to call the nation to repentance. The whole nation needs to hear this. Everyone in this land needs to hear that God calls us to repent of our sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to make that message known. In every way conceivable that we can, we must preach this message in this day and generation, and more so than ever before. One of the sins that we need to repent of as Christians is that we have not done everything we can to make this gospel known. But we need to pray that God will give us His grace and pour out His Holy Spirit upon His people. He quicken us in prayer and in preaching. So I'm going to read these verses again. God says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And that's what we need in this generation. Nothing else will suffice. Nobody else can deliver us. No one else can help us. If we can save ourselves in this situation, then it's not a judgment of God. When will our nation awaken? When will we turn back? When will we call on the name of the God who has blessed us for centuries since the Reformation? When will we call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and know His intervention and His power in our lives again? We desire the healing of our land, and the healing of our land is a healing from physical illness. We want that. But more than that, we desire a land where people fear God where people walk before God and where they know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's a much deeper, much greater, much more important healing that we need to know. So let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for this land, but pray that there would be a repentance, there would be a returning from sin to Jesus Christ for the salvation of many souls. And this we ask in his precious name. Amen.